This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Huge college football game tomorrow inside these borders. And we're going to talk about it right here with a former NFL Pro Bowler, Chad Brown, Compass Media. You remember him with the Steelers, probably with the Seahawks as well. Out of Colorado in 93, a second rounder went to the Steelers, where he formed one of the deepest and greatest linebacker cores the NFL has ever seen. And Chad Brown joins us now here doing LSU at Texas A&M tomorrow, Brian. And I know that's a program that's near and dear to your family's heart. You're looking forward to this game, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm very interested because everybody in my family went to A&M but me. And here I am, the lone LSU guy. So it'll be a heck of a game. I think Texas A&M is playing very well right now. LSU defensively has gotten better the last couple of weeks. The offense has been outstanding, though, but Texas A&M's defense, that's my biggest concern going into this game tomorrow as I watch the Tigers. I mean, Garrett Nussmeier at quarterback's played well. Lacy at the wide receiver, they've run the ball well. But Texas A&M presents a different challenge to you with that front seven that they have.
What's it like for you and your family getting together? Are you going to go at it? Are you talking trash with dad? How does this go down?
No, it really is. It's actually really calm, to be honest with you. I remember a couple different times when my dad was able to kind of travel around when A&M and LSU were playing this series when it first started back up again. Going to games with dad, and it was, we'd both sit there and we wouldn't say a word. We watching the game, and at the end of it you would just kind of like, man, well, hey, you got the best of me today. And but it's interesting to be a part of the rivalry, because I worked, you know, went to school at LSU, and then I was on RC Slocum's staff in 1990, with Texas A&M, and to play LSU and to be a part of being on a team that competed against LSU, that's kind of a difficult thing to have to deal with.
Certainly seems like A&M made the right coaching hire. Do you think it's like A&M and UT could be entering like a golden era of this rivalry?
I'll tell you what, it looks like Texas has clearly got this thing right. We'll see with Mike Elko. Mike Elko was an assistant at Texas A&M for a while and then went on to do some good things at Duke. I mean, we've seen coaches that have left Duke and gone on and been good. Steve Spurrier was example. David Cutcliffe at Ole Miss. So Duke seems to be kind of a launching pad, if you would say, to some good college head coaches.
Is this the kind of game tomorrow night in College Station where you kind of expect the home team to win regardless of where it is?
It'll be, you know, last week LSU had real problems in Arkansas at Fayetteville of dealing with crowd noise. They had 10 pre-snap penalties. I think 8 of them were on the offensive line. Kyle Field, we talked about this. Remember when Missouri played, and Missouri was like, oh, we've got this crowd noise thing down. And Missouri got just boat raced in that game. Kyle Field is a different animal, and especially at night with those fans.
It's a fun cross up between like the physicality of the A&M offense. They want to just bully you. They want to run the ball.
Le'Veon Moss,
who is a frequenter of TD Tuesday. You know, they just want to hand him the ball and tear you up. And that LSU defense, the speed of that defense is kind of what they have to hang their hat on. So it's kind of an interesting contrast from that standpoint.
Aggie's a 1-point favorite, Brian. What's your pick?
Yeah, I personally feel like that Texas A&M will win this game tomorrow. I just think defensively, we'll see how the quarterbacks. I think LSU has the advantage at quarterback. I just don't know how much LSU will be able to move the ball. Hopefully that they will in this game. I think it'll be a little tough. I think Texas A&M at home is pretty good.
OU is going to be at Ole Miss, Indiana, and Washington, the Michael Penix Bowl. You know,
yes, the Michael Penix Bowl, and I think Jackson Arnold is going to be starting for OU again. They're going back to the former Wildcat.
Indiana trying to go 8-0.
Yeah,
I think they have
their quarterback,
1957 or something like that. Crazy.
And game day's there.
Yeah, game day's there in Bloomington.
First time ever.
Oregon gets another Big Ten ranked opponent. It's Illinois. I don't know. Last time they were ranked was that Juice Williams.
I'm not sure.
Oh, it probably was. Yeah, that was a hell of an Illinois team. They went to the Rose Bowl that year, but they did beat, you know, as a ranked team, my Nebraska Cornhuskers earlier, and that's just because we got a terrible offense coordinator.
Missouri is ranked 21. They're at Bama, guys. Are the Tigers going to go in there? And
well, these are two teams that have really fallen down the polls. If you look at, you know, with Missouri, the loss that they had at Texas A&M, things kind of started spiraling out of control for them, you know, not playing some of their best football after being ranked in the top 10, I believe. Alabama the same way. The last Alabama, to be honest with you, should be on a three-game losing streak right now. Probably should have lost against South Carolina and were able to kind of pull that game out. You know, South Carolina onside kick had a chance, yeah, and weren't able to make it all happen there. So you're probably catching Alabama at the right time, and both teams really desperate. A loss would mean either one of them is probably out of any 12-team playoff contention.
Agreed. And, yeah, and when's the last time Alabama lost back-to-back weeks in a college football season?
I think it'd be 2007.
It is.
It was Nick Saban's
first year. Can you believe that? 2007 is the last time Bama lost consecutive games. Mizzou not going to have their leading rusher, Nate Noel. So he's going to be doubtful for this game. He's got a foot injury. That could be a big loss. He's got 503 yards on the season. I think the Crimson Tide probably win this game over Mizzou.
Okay, how about now 25th-ranked Vanderbilt? I don't know how far
Texas.
You have to go back. Hosting Texas.
Yeah.
Would you have concern here if you're the Longhorns?
Well, it was a really, really tough physical loss to the Georgia Bulldogs last week after coming off, you know, the beatdown they had of Oklahoma. Vanderbilt is kind of this funny team that all of a sudden is getting some respect. You know, the transfer, the quarterback. I know Sean and RJ had him on.
Yeah, Diego Pavia.
They had him on this morning, which was kind of cool to listen to him visit. But, yeah, you know, Vanderbilt probably doesn't have the players that Texas has. But, man, they played Alabama great. Converted a lot of third downs, ran the ball well, kind of kept them off balance, played defense well enough at the end, killed the game in the last 4 minutes with their rushing attack and some of their control passes. So Texas, I think that you definitely, Texas has, Vanderbilt has Texas' attention, put it that way.
Right on. It is the G-Bag Nation. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grand Prairie on a football Friday. And, of course, we're now just about 12 minutes away from what you're drinking, what you're thinking. So if you're cracking them, go ahead and get a phone call in now at 877-881-1053. We'll get you screened up, and we'll be into your phone calls here coming up in about 15 minutes or so. LA Live is out there. It's coming up at 540. Takeaways from opening night for the Mavericks, 120-109 over the Spurs, guys. I think I might be even more confident in this basketball team after watching how everything came together last night. You know, the Mavs' ability to score, even though Luka and Kyrie weren't having efficient nights, it was Klay Thompson, it was Jaden Hardy. I just think this team is so deep with so many different kind of guys that can get the job done in a variety of ways. That's huge. You know, it wasn't too long ago where we thought, well, if Luka doesn't go crazy, then the Mavs have absolutely no chance. And now, you know, Luka's going to get his rebounds. He's going to get his assists. And depending on how well he shoots the ball, he could score somewhere between 25 and 50 points. You know, when it is 25 and not his average of 34, how often are you guys, you know, going to be able to pick the team up? I want to see more defensively. You know, I think we need to see a lot more defensively to talk about this team being champions. But last night, I think we saw the focus and intensity and the depth to give you, you know, reason to believe this team could be the number one seed.
Yeah. I mean, it was encouraging to have the score what it was at halftime, only being down two in a half where you really couldn't buy
just
a bucket.
Odd, awful, I mean, the first, yeah.
Yeah. You just could do nothing offensively, but thanks to your offensive rebounding, thanks to your ability to be stingy defensively and create those turnovers, all of that went a long way to be like, okay, these shots are going to start to fall. Second half's going to be a different story. And it was.
All right, joining us now here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. It's Chad Brown. He'll be on the call tomorrow for LSU at A&M. Of course, you know him quite well from his time in the NFL as a great linebacker out of Colorado in 93. He was with the Steelers, played against the Cowboys Super Bowl 30, and he was with the Seahawks as well, made a couple of Pro Bowls up there, and Chad Brown joins us now here on 105.3 The Fan. Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for joining us.
Well, good afternoon to you as well. Happy to be on. And why are you bringing up old stuff about my Steelers lose to the Cowboys? Man, that still hurts. It still hurts to this day.
I imagine it does. And I got to tell you, I was living in Seattle in 95, 96, 97, and 98. I have nothing but the highest respect for you, so no hard feelings there. But if you could share with it, I mean, what pops out first from Super Bowl 30 in your memory?
Obviously, the two interceptions by Neil O'Donnell were the turning points of that game. We had gotten the momentum. We scored right before the half. Then we got an onside kick in the second half, and things were starting to go our way. The biggest offensive play of the game for the Cowboys, I think, was a pass to Deion Sanders in the first quarter, maybe a 35-yard pass. Other than that, we really did a good job against him defensively. We had kept Emmett bottled up. So things were going as we had hoped based off game plan. Of course, you don't game plan for your quarterback to throw two interceptions to the eventual Super Bowl MVP, Larry Brown, who he didn't find a whole lot of success after leaving the Cowboys, but certainly cost my Steelers the Super Bowl.
Chad, I guess while we're off subject of maybe the LSU A&M game, when I was scouting in Green Bay, I remember scouts standing up in the meeting room talking about your love for reptiles. Is that still something? They were talking about at Colorado, you had reptiles in your room and stuff like that. Am I right about that? We still have that love for the reptile?
Yeah, Brian, you are correct.
I took a chance. I knew I was going to get this right.
He was nervous. He was nervous that maybe he had messed that up, Chad.
Chad, I was thinking, it was a long time ago. I go, this guy has a fascinating background with reptiles. And I'm glad it's worked out for me today.
Yeah. I bred reptiles on a commercial scale for quite a long time. Okay. Produced several thousand baby reptiles every year. Sold them all over the globe. I was one of the largest producers of captive bred reptiles on the planet. And now my business in the reptile industry is I own Ship Your Reptile. So I help businesses and hobbyists ship their animals across the country if they're in the reptile production business and they're selling those baby reptiles. But I also help the military mom who needs to get little Timmy's turtle from Tennessee to Texas when they get reassigned and they get assigned to a new area. So I ship for zoos. I ship for private institutions, I ship for aquariums, and like I said, I ship for the military mom who needs to move little Timmy's turtle.
Got that expertise in reptile transportation. Awesome. It's Chad Brown here with you in the G-Bag Nation. How much have the Aggies got things figured out here under Mike Elko and going into tomorrow night's game against LSU?
It's looking like they got the things pretty well figured out. I had them on the call for the first game of the year against Notre Dame. They just could not get any offense going in that game. So the production that they've had recently, Connor Wegman looking better than he looked in the past, looking better than he looked last year. It looked like, Marcel Reed would possibly be the guy early on, and then Connor Wegman kind of takes that job and it's produced a better result because of that. And then defensively, that defensive line is very difficult to deal with. They stop the run really well, give up a few too many explosive plays. But the fact that both these teams are both undefeated in the SEC conference schedule, and whoever wins moves up top in the SEC, that's pretty remarkable for teams who folks had some doubts about early in the season.
It's amazing. Chad Brown's with us, who's going to end up having the call tomorrow. We'll have the game on 105.3 The Fan, LSU and Texas A&M. I know Brian brought his big LSU grad, so I'll take a Tiger question from him. But what stands out to you as you get ready for LSU? Garrett Nussmeier, to me, and we'll get more into our draft scouting in about a month. We do a lot of that here for our station. But when it comes to the quarterbacks that are coming into the draft, I think Garrett Nussmeier might end up being the best out of this year's class.
Well, I'm a Colorado Buffalo, so I think some folks in Boulder.
Hey, Shador.
Maybe
Shador's probably going to go ahead of Nussmeier.
Yeah. But Nussmeier, 6'7" in the Heisman odds right now. There's still some football left to be played. Has a chance to move up. 5 300-yard games this season. 4 receivers with 25 receptions plus. So he's spreading the ball around. They're obviously very efficient passing the ball. And their run game has left a little bit to be desired, yet he still finds ways to be successful. sometimes these quarterbacks need balance to be able to pass the ball. He's a skilled enough passer. He can get it done just based on the passing game alone and doesn't need that run game to keep the defense honest. So there's a lot to be said for what he's bringing into this game, and it's going to be a great, fascinating matchup between the pass rush for the Aggies versus the passing game for the Tigers.
How much do you stay on top of the Colorado program?
I'm pretty well versed in that. In fact, once I hang up with you guys, I've got to do a podcast with one of my former CU teammates talking about the Buffs' upcoming game against Cincinnati.
So what do you think the future holds for Deion when the kids move on to pro football? Is he going to go with them? Do you think he'll stop coaching? Do you think he'll keep rolling?
It's been a topic that has yet to die down in the Colorado area. There's a couple different thoughts. He's proclaimed his love for Boulder and Colorado, and he's going to be here in the long term. But if you look around the NFL, you know, I know this feels kind of conspiracy theory-esque, but the Raiders clearly need a quarterback. Shadur could be one of those quarterbacks they could go after. Antonio Pierce hasn't exactly lit it up as a head coach. Is there a more glitz and glam coach than Coach Prime? Is there a coach who's got more things to sell than Coach Prime? Is there a city, you know, other more than Vegas that would love to have that kind of person be the head coach of their football team? All that adds up in a very conspiratorial kind of way where, you know, I could see something like that happening. Coach Prime leaving for Florida State, I don't think that's a possibility. You know, the amount of money that's coming to Boulder, the way he's changed the athletic program, I think it's going to be difficult for him to leave for another college program. But if the Raiders were to offer him $12 million, $15 million bucks a year, can he turn that down? Plus all the promotional possibilities and all the endorsement possibilities and to go coach his son, I think that, you know, would be impossible for him to turn down. But outside of a circumstance like that, I still think he'll be back in Boulder next year.
What do you think of him as a coach? Is he really good? Is he great? Is he pretty good? What do you say?
I think he's learning. I think he's learning. And he's actually expressed something rare for Coach Prime, a little bit of humility in some press conferences the last couple of weeks. Talked about what they didn't know this year, what they know this year, how he had to do some turnover on the staff, how they had to do some deep looks at themselves, what they wanted to do offensively, defensively. So there's been, I think, the right amount of step back from all the braggadociousness that we are also familiar with Coach Prime. And the in-game coaching, it is getting better. There were four or five games last year where you could directly point to and say, hey, man, you screwed that situation up and you screwed that situation up and that one cost your team the ball game. This year, there have yet to be some of those. There have been some head scratches, some learning lessons, but not anything as awful last year. So I still think he's a CEO type of coach. If you were to ask Coach Prime to get up on the whiteboard and draw up the intricacies of a defense, I don't think he could do it. I think he could probably design the backfield, the secondary play, sure, but all the, you know, linebacker coverages and the pass rush games up front, I don't think he can. But I don't think that's his skill set anyway. His skill set is hiring the right people, being, from a college coach perspective, being a great recruiter, setting the tone for the program, all the social media stuff, all the eyeballs, all the attention, all the money that's come with him. That's what his role is. You can find good coordinators to do that other part of the job. So, yeah, he's never going to be mistaken for Sean McVay. It's always going to be Coach Prime kind of stuff.
Hey, Chad, as an LSU alum, and I feel like that, you mentioned Texas A&M's pass rush and LSU's much talked about offensive line. Do you kind of feel like that's where this game can kind of hinge for both teams? That LSU's has to have the ability, as much as they like to throw the football, they have to find a way to block the front seven for the Aggies if they're going to have a chance in this game on Saturday.
That's how I see it as well. Caden Durham coming back, looks like he's going to be full strength. Only 62 carries on the year, but 9 of those carries have been for 10-plus yards. So that's 15%. I did do a little bit of math at the University of Colorado, so I figured that one out. But when 15% of your carries are 10-plus yards, you've got an explosive nature to yourself.
Sure.
And so the Aggies front is good. and they limit people to like, you know, less than 3.5 yards per carry, but they do give up explosive plays as well. So if that offensive line that you just talked about, Brian, is able to open up some big holes, and Caden has 3 or 4 explosive plays that extend drives or put them into scoring position in a game where I expect it to be close, and the only game that the Aggies have played all year that hasn't been close is that game against Missouri. So all the other wins of them have been incredibly close, so I expect this one to follow suit. A running back who has 4 explosive runs, that could be field goal. That could be 3 extra points or 6 extra points that could get you the victory.
Chad Brown, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy your weekend down here. If you need anything, just let us know.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. You know, I've got my crew for the game, and we're going to go head out and get some delicious food here in Austin. Looking forward to it.
Right on. Enjoy. Salute. Thank you, sir. Chad Brown, former NFL linebacker, part of a historic defense there with the Pittsburgh Steelers in the mid-90s playing against the Cowboys, and he's right, man. If Neil O'Donnell hadn't thrown those picks to Larry, it could have been a different deal.
Sure.
I mean, that was a slow, grinding type of Super Bowl victory there for the Cowboys. And thankfully, Neil was there for us. Okay. We have LA Live coming up at 5:40. Time now for What You Drinking, What You Thinking. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grand Prairie for another 98 minutes here in the G-Bag Nation. We are back. It is the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Literally, Wolchuk and Chiafalo were halfway across the bar. They're taking shots with Tolos. Broadus is over here like holding court with 5 other Tolos. We've been taking pictures, having ourselves a time all afternoon right here at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grand Prairie. You know it's time now for that one segment of the week where you're actually encouraged to call in while intoxicated or in the process of catching the buzz. It's time for What You Drinking and What You Thinking here on The Fan. Go ahead and line them up. We're going to go around the room. We'll go back into the Pimp Cup, see what L.A. is drinking and thinking, and then we're going to get to your phone calls. Currently, I've been killing the fountain Diet Cokes. I'm on empty over here, so I'm just kind of nursing my Stanley of my water bottle. And I'm thinking wire-to-wire first place, which was my bold prediction for the Mavs season last night, is very much in play, especially with the Suns in action tonight. They're going to be on the second half of a back-to-back tomorrow, Brian, with their veteran players, with their injured players. Should be another easy dub for the Dallas Mavericks as the Nosebleed Boys rejoin us now here. Segment of the Nation brought to you by Window Nation, and it's brought to you by the on-time experts. Brian, what you drinking and thinking?
You know what? I have yet to have anything. I'm just having fun watching Wolchuk in day 2 go at it here.
Go back 2 days.
And then you got Chief involved too. Like, he's pounding wings, but he's also drinking tequila right with Wolchuk.
And the Tolos.
Tolos!
Yeah.
Cheers to all
of
them.
We love you, Tolos! Who are dialing them up right now.
Yeah, and what I'm thinking about, though, is that this is really a huge game for LSU tomorrow against Texas A&M, and I'm glad we had Chad Brown on. I will say this, though, more important than what Chad Brown was talking about, I'm so happy that the whole reptile thing worked out, because I was nervous about that.
Yeah.
Because you never know when you ask a question, you're thinking, I think this guy was a reptile guy.
Right. Yeah, he bred him. 7,000 a year.
And I was like, God, because seriously, we're in Green Bay, and he was getting scouted. And the scout said, this guy has an incredible reptile collection. And we're all like, really? Like, yeah, like snakes. And it was just crazy stuff. And I was just thinking, please, memory, don't fail me on this.
Yeah.
So I was glad that all
you
worked out.
You nailed it. The scouting brain was on top of it, three and a half decades later. And now Chad Brown specializes in transporting exotic reptiles across the country.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be difficult to keep him alive and all that.
He's the reptile king. We need a new
documentary. He's the reptile king.
Let's go into the Pimp Cup. Lucius Alexander drinking, thinking, sir.
I've had a bunch of water, whole gang of it, feeling good about that. Thinking, since the fair is now closed, I'm going to get myself back in that gym the proper way. Because while the fair was open, I probably went to the gym maybe once.
A lot of walking around, though, Lucius, right? A lot of walking around, kind of working it off.
You would think, man, a lot of walking around while holding sugary alcoholic beverages and drinking fat burgers and funnel cakes and everything. I put on 6 pounds. How long was the fair open?
Six weeks.
Since about July, Lucius.
My man Air just freestyled that for real, bro.
All summer long.
What do you say? Probably a year. I don't know. Yeah, so I put on 6 grossly pounds, fam. I look like a funnel cake right now, so I got to shake it off. I was in the gym today going hard. You know, going so hard where it gets dizzy and the walls start shaking a little bit. You're like, damn, I need a sound.
Yeah, about this when I almost strapped his pants.
Well, Chuck, drinking, thinking.
Just took a shot of tequila. Yeah. And I'm thinking about, man, the legend that is Brian Broaddus. Brian just had about 6 guys come up to him, and they just wanted to talk football with him. I think everywhere we go.
He loved every minute of it.
It was a true fantasy of his.
Really, yeah. It's just like, man, can I talk to Broaddus? And sometimes Brian is like, as we've talked about, locked in, like, I just don't want to deal with people right now.
Uh-huh.
But when you start to get him a little bit chipper, and he's got the smile on right now, the people love Brian Broaddus. And deep down, Brian is a man of the people.
I'm going to honestly say something here. I had my headphones on and everything. I think you boys set me up.
You think so?
I think you boys set me up. You're like, hey.
I think that's a genius bit if you did.
I think they did.
Yeah.
I was sitting here because I was paying attention. I was looking up something on my phone, and the next thing I know, like, Wolchek goes, and Wolchek and Chief all go, hey, these guys want to meet you. And there was like a crowd.
It was a crowd.
I love it.
Crowd of them.
It was a crowd of them, dude.
It's like, Captain Broaddus, I want you to meet Captain Simmons, Captain Johnson. You know, it was like I was going to a coin toss. You know, they were all lined up.
They have a challenge coin.
These boys set me up. They did. They
Broaddus,
set
well
me
done,
up.
Guys. Well, people's Super Bowl champion.
Because you made those people's day.
Well, I appreciate them being so nice, but I know what you guys did. So,
well, we love you.
Yeah,
it was our pleasure. Let's have some more of it. It's social hour with Brian Broaddus, official meet and greet till the end of the show at every break. I mean, don't even wait for the break, Chief. What you got? What you drinking? What you thinking?
Yes, sir. Polishing off a little tequila alongside Walchuk here, which is fantastic. I'm thinking about a lot of stuff, but I can't get this stat out of my head from the basketball that was played this week. With our favorite Zach Edey. Did you guys see this?
Zach Edey can play. I can't say his name.
He made history.
He can play.
He made history.
I'm just telling you, I recognized him in the preseason. I recognized Zach Edey in the preseason.
Did you?
I was scouting him up.
You didn't know the regular
season. Yeah, Dennis said his name wrong about 5 times.
He did.
Won't be on the floor in the playoffs.
Did you? Hey, wait.
Might not
be on the floor in game 2 after you get this stat.
No.
This Opta stat.
Oh, did he have a 0?
He made history. Okay,
zero?
Let's just start there. My man is making
He's been averaging
history.
Like 25 points in the preseason.
Opta stats. Zach Edey is the only player.
No.
Since the NBA-ABA merger to start his NBA debut,
no.
But foul out after playing 15 minutes or less. Congratulations to Zach Edey, who is pound for pound the greatest fouler in basketball history. He's only played 15 minutes.
You're making up crap.
It's not difficult to imagine.
You're
it
totally
is time now to go out to the phone calls back into the Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander is going to bring you up.
Was that a troll fact? Was that a real fact?
I'm dead ball serious on that one, Lucius.
How many fouls does it take to get to foul out the game? Is it 6?
That's 6. Yep.
In 15 minutes, bro. Chill out, dog.
15 minutes or less. Chill Let out, me count bro. How many minutes he actually
played. Having a lead story on ESPN right now.
No. I swear.
Did you see this fool?
I swear. he's every – at least 6 of his plays are on the not top 10. Like 6 not top 10 plays of the week are his fouls.
My God. All right, let's go to Big Mitch. You're in the G-Bag Nation. Big Mitch, what you drinking? What you thinking?
Man, oh, man, oh, man, boys. How about that bum from Golden State that can't shoot anymore last night, huh?
Yeah. Right on.
Yeah, I mean, that guy's not going to help at all.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, sipping on some Red Bull. Got a couple TCU thoughts for you real quick. Broaddus, have you checked out Jack Betts since he transferred over to TCU yet?
I've seen highlights. I haven't seen TCU play a game this year. My December 1st, I know I'm going to have to get to him a little bit. But, yeah, I've seen some highlights of him. Haven't watched a TCU game.
Man, he is an absolute D-O-double-G dog.
Okay.
It's baby Aaron Fernandez. That dude's an animal. Secondly, Jeremiah Donati, however you say that man's first name, should be –
Thank you, Big Mitch. Have a great weekend, buddy. That opens the line at 877-881-1053. LA Live right around the corner here in the G-Bag Nation. It'll be scouting season before too long.
It will be. We'll
big blowout here.
Yeah.
Go 0-5 in the next five. We'll be there before we even get to Halloween.
Garrett Nussmeier, man. I think Nuss might be the best quarterback in this class.
Don't jinx my guy, please.
Dan Orlovsky's on that run right now.
Yeah. I think Dane Brugler is, too.
Propping up Nuss.
He's got some Tony Romo to his game. He really does.
I mean, he's got... When it comes to, I think he can make every throw on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, the arm talent's real. That game winner he had in overtime, was it Ole Miss? Gorgeous throw.
Yes, first play in overtime
gorgeous
for LSU,
throw.
Yeah.
Thank you, Big Mitch. Who's next, Lucius?
Let's go to Leo Fuego in the G-Bag Nation. What are you drinking? What are you thinking, Leo?
Hey, guys. I'm glad to hear from y'all. I'm drinking a Route 44 Sonic Diet Coke.
Oh.
Very nice.
It's been a long week. I'm a teacher, so kind of relaxing here. I got a couple of things.
Dawson's about to hang up on you.
Hey, turn I'm up, thinking Leo. About I'm thinking about that Texas Vanderbilt game tomorrow.
Oh,
I think that Texas needs to not take it easy. They need to get serious because I feel like that Diego guy is a pretty good quarterback and he's no joke. For sure.
That's a great line, dude. And you're right. I think he has a warrior spirit.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
And I do think that Texas needs to come out of the gates on fire.
Yeah.
Don't give
yeah.
these guys any life here, because this is one of those teams that is ready to rally around any type of momentum at home. They're going to be flying with confidence if they can come out there and punch Texas in
yes.
the mouth.
You got to body slam them early. Texas yes. put them back in their place.
Texas on offense the last couple of times out. Oklahoma was a slow start. And Georgia, we know what happened in that first half of that game.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Who's next, Lucius?
Let's go to Black and Gold Super Bowl. You know, G-Bag Nation, what are you drinking? What are you thinking?
Yo, what's going on, fellas? I've been driving, so I'm just drinking some cold water right now. But here in a few minutes, when I walk into Buffalo's, order me a tall Yingling Light.
Okay.
And I'm just thinking that usually for me, basketball and hockey season don't truly start until football season's over with.
Okay.
So, man, I desperately need the Saints to beat the Chargers this weekend. I mean, last night's Mavs game was great, and the Stars are kicking butt right now, the 6-2 start, but I'm not ready to put my heart into football. I mean, not ready to put my heart into basketball and hockey just yet. So I really need to win Sunday afternoon, and that's it. But before I go, the song I'm going to recommend to Tolos is From the Beginning by Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. Y'all have a good
sounds
one, fellas.
Emerson,
thank
Lake
you,
and
sir.
Palmer. There you go.
Black and Gold B, one of our favorite Tolos here in the G-Bag Nation, a regular in the what you drinking and what you thinking. And it's hilarious because the Saints acted, the fans, like they had won the Super Bowl after they beat the Cowboys, and it might be their last win of the year. So I hope you enjoyed it.
They really had a parade.
They did. The umbrellas were out.
That was crazy.
Yeah, right there on Division.
Gosh,
we did it.
The trombones were out. Dude. They had tubas.
The second line.
Ryan and I leave 3 hours after the game. They're still partying.
The second line was marching.
Yeah, them fools all rolled to Six Flags with tambourines.
It smelled like bourbon and everything.
Yeah.
It really did.
Indeed. I jumped in line with him, too.
Hey, cousin.
Where's the jumbo? Hey, where are you going? Where are you going?
Give me the jambalaya.
Let's go to Polo and Garland. You're in the G-Bag Nation. Polo, what are you drinking? What are you thinking, dog?
Bye.
What up?
Hi.
Hey, first of all, yesterday was my birthday. I turned 47 years old. So guess what? I mean, it's been since 17. It's since I was 17 years old that we won a Super Bowl. I mean, I was barely legal to see an R-rated movie by myself. That's how long it's been since the Cowboys won a Super Bowl. 30 years, dude. Come on, man. I'm in the bathroom right now here for my girl. I got the TV on so she can hear me. And I love you, baby. I know you're cooking for my birthday dinner in a couple of minutes. We have wings. We have a jambalaya. Your brothers got that jambalaya, dog. And
jambalaya.
I wish that I would come on the east side of Dallas County because I can't drive out with a Grand Prairie, man. I got a flag in 2016. Y'all still ain't signed that bad boy yet. Now, for my Texas Longhorns, Quinn Ewers, you're not that quarterback, dude. Arch Manning, I know you're not ready yet. But Quinn Ewers, I can tell you've been throwing to a whole bunch of South Lake Carroll dudes. And Arch Manning, I can tell that you've been throwing to some brothers just because of the way that you throw the ball. And Quinn Ewers, you're just not that dude, man. I'm sorry. SMU, I know we lost Russell Merrill Jr. yesterday. I mean, to an ACL. I hate that for SMU. And I wish I had a better team to talk for. I mean, talk about just about the Cowboys. So I'm talking about the Mavericks for a second. I'm hurrying up, y'all. I don't keep trying to call. But we, it feels like we're just too short of a team. I know Clay Thompson did a thing yesterday. Y'all had the eye about this. But it feels like we're kind of short this year. I know we missed Derrick Jones' defense. But it feels like we got like a little short team for some reason. And come on, y'all. Come to this side. We got a Buffalo Wild Wings and Rock Wall. I mean, they don't really like black people out there, but I'll come see y'all. Bye.
Bye. There he goes, Polo. Man, I wish we'd stay out there. It'd be a little bit closer for me, too. 55 minutes. Not complaining. Great to be out here in Grand Prairie. But I'm with you, Polo.
Rockwall's got a really good barbecue place out
it
there.
It does.
Rockwall's a popping city, man. Oh, it's a beautiful drive going over that
over the bridge.
Lake.
Yeah.
Set that up. Who's next, Lucius?
Polo says, bow.
Wow.
And yow.
I was wondering, man, because he was on SMU a lot. He was here talking about Texas. I thought he was going to. He did talk a little about SMU.
Yeah, he's a big SMU guy.
Him and Lucius are my
I
SMU
love
guys.
SMU, bro.
Yeah, I know. Lucius and Polo are my SMU guys, for sure.
Let's go to Big Jim. Big Jim's in the building, baby. Yes. Big Jim, what are you drinking? What you thinking, Playboy?
It's my boy. It's a good old Friday, and here we are just sipping on a little whiskey. I made my way through the bullcrap this week, went and early voted. I encourage everybody to do their civic responsibility and get out there and vote. It's very important, and there's some elections we got. Boy, disappointed in the Longhorns. They look like the Shorthorns last week. Didn't like that at all. Listen, fellas, I got to ask you something. Never thought this batch of the Cowboys over the past few years, I never really thought they're that emotionally tough. You know, we talk about toughness and hitting hard and all that, but, boy, they just seem to kind of get down on themselves. I think this is an important game this weekend. I'm curious. You know, it's not like coming into that bye last year. You know, we got things straightened out, but I think we just got to see some toughness. And I was kind of happy to see CeeDee Lamb, you know, when they asked him about Troy, you know, he just kind of, you know, said he had to do better and he let it go. Hey, I want to say something to you. I thought y'all did a good job with old Ben DiNucci this week.
Yeah, thank you.
Ben DiNucci. I like him. And my daughter got me one of them upside down Dallas caps. I like it all right. People don't, you know, I wore it out of state a couple times and people thought I was against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
They don't quite understand it. But y'all ought to get old Ben on regular. He's good. And I think he's got some insights. Hey, listen, fellas, thank you for the joy this week brought us. You are the people's scout. Thank you for all your hard work, extra time you put in. And, well, Chuck and Chief, you did a good job. And Gavin, by God, you are the biggest devil's advocate I've ever seen in my life. You do such a good job, and I appreciate it. And I can't forget my man, Lucius Alexander. Listen, he is the glue, and we really appreciate it. So stick around and listen to his segment next. Love you, boys.
That's a good segue. Oh, thank you, Big Jim. Have a great weekend.
I would go right into Lucius' segment.
Well, here we go. Yeah. It is time now.
I would do that. Hold on. Don't do that. I would do that. I appreciate that, Jim. Let's get these last three in the building here. D. Wright is in the building. They're new callers, so I have to get them in. You know what I mean?
There you go.
New callers. D. Wright, what are you drinking? What are you thinking, player?
Oh, yeah, I appreciate that, Lucius.
Got
my
you.
Dear sweet brother, Noose, man.
Yeah.
Hey, man, calling up out of D-Town, and I appreciate you guys. What I'm drinking is some 10-1 rum and coke. That's what I'm on.
Old school.
And,
old school.
What I'm thinking is, you know, I don't quite agree with Jerry Jones and his philosophy, but I do want to start to put some respect on the man's name simply because he's out on the front lines every week. And although I think his candy ass needs to retire, hey, I still put some respect on his name because he is. He's on the front lines every week and he's got no business. Other than that, man, I don't know, man. If my son don't need to take some ADHD medicine or something, man, they say that boy stay busy at school. So that's on my mind too, man. But appreciate y'all, and it's been real, man.
Hey, best of luck to you.
That's sweet right. Brother Noomsay.
Call back. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Call
yeah, good back call.
Time. Yeah.
All right, we got Tyler. Busy. Tyler in the building. What are you drinking? What are you thinking, Tyler?
Hey, fellas. Good afternoon. I just slammed some Miller Lights before we go watch these soft-ass high school football players nowadays.
Dang.
And, man, me and Ollie are on the same page. I was literally thinking, you guys need to come out to Rockwall again. We need to have a party. We need to have fun. Broadus, I've given you beers at the Ranger games. It's time for me to give you beers at Buffalo Wild Wings. Let's do this.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Fantastic. Nice work, dude.
Let's do this.
Yeah, I like that, Kyle. I just slammed my beer, and I just want to let you guys know.
Yeah, soft-ass high school football.
I got to go sit out there.
Don't even play with the concussion no more.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Don't know how to put no dirt on it. Walk it off. Let's go to Manuel. You're the last one, dog. Manuel, you're in the G-Back Nation. What are you drinking? What are you thinking, sir?
Salute. First-time caller. Hey. Thank you. Our racetrack Powerade and Sprite.
Okay.
So what that's I'm thinking is,
the combination. There you go.
Yeah, I just wanted to give thanks to G-Bag 105.3. You know, it could be tough out there, and y'all give me a lot of hope, a lot of heart, and I just wanted to say thank you.
Happy to be here.
Appreciate you, brother.
Have a great weekend.
Be well.
Let's go to the Pimp Cup
yeah.
for some L.A. Live.
Yeah. Man, L. Duncan is on TV looking crazy,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
Just crazy, man. I'm sick of it. Oiling and lotioning and oiling and lotioning. Sick of it, dog.
I just told the guy to change the channel here.
I can't take it anymore.
All right, let's get into a Friday edition of LA Live right after the great Rick James.
All right, squares. Fire up this funk and let's have a toe. It'll make you dance with some of everything.
You go to 7-Eleven, I get some munchies, I get some Skittles, I get something to drink, because I got the munchies! I've been smoking dope, I got the munchies!
Yeah! Do what you gotta do to feel good. This is LA Live for Friday, October 25th, 2024. It is a feel-good Friday here in LA Live. Let us enjoy this 48 hours of liberty, folks. 48 hours of liberty. Let's enjoy it safely, though. Y'all know how I get down. Avoid the law dogs this weekend. Mind your speeds. Don't drink and drive. Please don't drink and drive. I'm seeing sad stories on Facebook where they all go, people out here drinking and driving, losing lives. Please don't drink and drive. Keep your emotions in check. Your emotions get you to crash out. I promise you, I don't want to see you on Dallas, Texas TV or a DFW scanner this weekend. Every time I see somebody on there, I say, that fool's not a Tolo.
Yeah. Yeah, Lucius, don't run from the law either. That ends up bad.
Just yeah, seen that.
Don't run from the law.
That's
whatever you do.
Scary, yeah, bro. Yeah, don't run from the law, man.
Don't run.
You're just making it worse, whatever it is, yeah. I promise. Yeah. Don't crash out, please. Here's your weekend warning.
This weekend safety briefing. Do not add to the population. Do not subtract from the population.
I'll be the one.
Do not end up in a hospital, newspaper, or jail. If you do end up in jail, establish dominance quickly.
Yeah. All right, I got a question for you boys here. And I'm pretty sure this is a must-lie situation, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Has any one of you fools, anybody here, ever had a side piece?
No, sir.
No, not lucky sir. Enough to have a side piece.
Okay. Never in your life. You never had a girlfriend that had another one at another school or something like that? Okay.
No. Wasn't that talented?
I was never that fortunate.
Have you guys ever been a side piece?
Yeah, probably.
Not that I'm aware of.
Dang.
No. Had my suspicions a couple times.
I wasn't notified.
Well, usually the side piece knows he's a side piece and he plays his role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous position to play. If she has a man, I suggest you do not play this game. Do not play this game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Being a male side piece is a deadly job, folks.
Yeah,
believe me.
They'll kill you.
Yeah, a man will kill you of his wife. Yeah. I promise you. So please keep it safe. Let's go to Houston, where a couple is in jail because they're accused of kidnapping and shooting the wife's side piece.
Oh, no.
They kidnapped that fool and shot him twice in the leg.
Oh, man. Didn't even kill him?
Nah, they didn't kill him. Wow. Look, you said didn't even kill him.
Well, if you're going to shoot him,
dang.
You know, you're not going to want to leave him there to tell on you.
I think it was a warning. I think it was a warning thing. Don't do this again.
You don't half-ass
it. He's not going to tell after you let him go?
Dawson is a wild boy, bro.
All or nothing, man.
Dawson is a wild boy.
If I'm going to shoot somebody, they're not going to live to tell the tale.
You said you're going to stretch him out on that concrete, huh?
Yeah.
Damn, Dawson is a wild boy, bro.
Well, I probably wouldn't leave him out there on the concrete because then there would be a body. Without a body, there's no crime.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
So the body goes out to the woods. The pistol goes in a lake.
You're not going
to
do the Breaking Bad, like, chemicals thing where you just, like, the body disintegrates?
Now there's nothing to find?
Isn't that what
I wish I could. If I knew the science,
I'd probably end up burning my own hand off or something.
My aunt's a science teacher.
Spill it on your leg.
We could call her.
I'd probably kill myself trying to get rid of that body.
Well, a side dude, he was also married. Apparently, he macked down a married woman. Side guy was, I think, is a delivery driver, a DoorDasher or something like that. Yeah. So he went and macked down this woman as a delivery driver, like probably knocked on the door and blah, 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 had that game.
Yep.
They would meet up at the Chick-fil-A and then go into behind the Target, you know, and do the little thing in the car, make a little whoopee. You know what I mean? Yeah, a little whoopee. Let's go to Fox 26 right here for this crash-out couple, the crash-out champions, crash-out kings. They kidnapped this man.
A judge has set high bonds for a Houston husband and wife who are accused of trying to kill the man that she was having an affair with.
According to court records, 35-year-old Hannah Al-Alami and her husband, 48-year-old Uber driver Omar Bishtawi, went to a West Houston Chick-fil-A and waited for the man she had been cheating with, a DoorDash driver, to arrive.
It's alleged that you gestured to the complaining witness and the complaining witness got into your vehicle. You tried to drive off with the complaining witness, although the complaining witness told you that he had a delivery and could not go. Your husband jumped out from under a curtain that was in the back seat of the vehicle.
Surprise!
Put the complaining witness in a chokehold and pressed a firearm against the complaining witness's head. The complaining witness tried to get away, and your husband shot the complaining witness two times.
The gunfire and attempted kidnapping, according to court documents, happened at the same Chick-fil-A where the wife and her boyfriend would meet. And then the two, according to court records, would drive behind the nearby Target to be alone.
Wow, and then what happened?
And then?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, wow. Bro. I'm pretty sure he convinced her, hey, no, call him right now. Let's meet up. I've had about enough of this.
If it's not real, prove it.
Yeah, just show me. Call him right now on the phone. Let me see. Hey, here's a side piece. That's the jam. Hokie Bear. To be with my side piece. Oh, 105 for the fan.
Side piece.
That's the stuff my dad be listening to, bro.
Singing his heart out.
Yeah. White linen's on, eating shrimp, talking about my son beats. The hell out of here. Hey, Mr. Gavin Dawson, the General. Sir. Gavin Dawson, you fancy yourself a Portland man.
Yeah.
You know about some Portland.
From that area.
Familiar.
Yes. Years.
I had a radio buddy that got a job in Portland.
Yeah.
And while he was hanging out at the strip clubs there, when he first got there, maybe the first week, he met some girl. They went back to a hotel. She stole his laptop.
Oh, I can see that for
sure. She got him. And then I run into him, a few months later or something like that. He's still with the darn girl. They're together now. They got kids and everything.
That's a true Portland love story right there. For you, boy.
How'd y'all meet? Well,
did she ask for an upgrade on her laptop? Hey, you think you could get another laptop a little better?
Yeah. Portland is a wild place, man.
Yeah.
I do enjoy Tom Hartman out of Portland, though. Tom Hartman.
Yeah.
But Portland is not a real place. It's not a real place. Have you seen the folks running for mayor up there?
You know, a buddy of mine ran for mayor about 4 years ago. The mayoral race can be a wild and eccentric time.
I'm so glad you're familiar with this.
Yeah.
There's a stripper running for mayor in Portland. Oh. Her name is Viva Las Vegas. Listen to this. Just her intro.
Next to him, Leave Austis, an author, writer, musician, and stripper, also known as Viva Las Vegas.
What?
Viva! Viva!
What?
Las Vegas.
They just stand on business out there like, yeah, I'm a stripper and I'm running for mayor. What's good? They stand on business.
I think it has the most strip clubs per capita, but a lot of them are just like little dive bars where they put a stage up.
Okay.
Okay, so like any bar you're at could potentially be a strip club.
The versatility factor is amazing.
So they had amateur night?
They got a show.
Amateur night?
It's like open mic night?
It seems like every night's amateur night, you know? A lot of like suicide girl style chicks, skater chicks.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
I love suicide girls. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Some are really hot.
No, they're so
beautiful.
The
tattoos
beautiful.
With the birds, the sparrows or whatever. Yeah.
The sailor tattoos.
Yeah.
Nah, man, I can imagine those strip clubs. They probably, stages probably have like wheels at the bottom. Roll the stage out of here real quick. There's another person running for mayor. She's also a city commissioner. Her name is Carmen Rubio. Mm. Listen to how many tickets this lady had. She's on TV like, I'm running for mayor, bro.
Ms. Rubio. Let's talk about your 150 parking and traffic tickets, your failures to appear in court, six driver's license suspensions, largely before you were elected to city council. Then there was an incident last month where you scraped another vehicle while parking and walked away without leaving a note. Our reporting also shows you were ticketed as a sitting city commissioner for an expired vehicle registration, which a year later, according to records, still had not been updated.
Given that history,
what can you say to reassure voters who may have questions about whether they should trust you with an $8-plus billion budget and whether you will be a champion for law and order?
Well, no one is more sorry or embarrassed about those things than I am.
There you go. Show that remorse. Yeah. She just hit the vape pen, dude. She's like, I'm sorry. Forgot about it, you know.
Can we run that back? Are we live? Wait, we're live?
Oh, let me start over.
My platform is for more parking spaces. We need to tear down buildings. We need more
that
lots.
Is incredible.
Nice work, Ron. It's incredible. Hell
yeah. I got to go to Portland. All right, man. All right. Let's see. What is it? I think that's it. I'll be black on Monday. Lord willing, the creek don't rise.
Hope so.
My name is Lucius Alexander. Holla.
There he goes. LA Live with Lucius every night about 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We got 1 hour to go. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grand Prairie. And the 6 o'clock hour. You want some bases, Wolchuk?
Let's get you set for game one of the World Series. Yeah. And let's spend some of the Rangers' money. That's next on The Fan.